Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Let me call the Mesa City Council study session of Monday, November 19th, 2007 to order. We are going to be reviewing items for the meeting starting this evening at 5:45. So if you'll grab your packet of information, we'll go through that. I think page one is fairly self-explanatory. Page two, consent. We have a minor plan, general amendment, a corresponding resolution and ordinance to that on page two, similar on page three, another minor general plan amendment, resolution and ordinance. That would take us over to page four, which would be liquor license applications. I have an explanation here on 5B. You want to? Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right.
Mayor and City Council, Ranch Market is off consent at this point because we wanted, staff wanted to bring to your attention a request that we got from the Arizona Liquor Industry Consultants. Normally, when we get an application for a liquor license, if they don't have the proper city permits, we get a recommendation for denial from the fire department or building safety or permits, and in this case they have not pulled their permits, but they brought to our attention a procedure that the city of Phoenix uses in which they can sign an affidavit that says they will abide by our building codes and get their permits and not open for business until they get their certificate of occupancy. And we felt that that was reasonable. We talked with the fire staff and the building safety staff, and they also felt that they had it within their means to not open up this establishment, since right now it's just dirt, unless they were within, they had abide by the building codes for the city of Mesa. According to the letter, I think you all got a copy of it, they have found that businesses that are coming into the area, into the state of Arizona, are requesting to apply for their liquor licenses earlier because of neighborhood opposition. We do post a notice at the location notifying the neighborhood that there is a liquor license application, and they can submit any protests to our city clerk's office. And in this case, we posted it for the required 20 days, and there was no protest filed. So we're proposing to you that we change our procedure and put these new construction requests on the consent agenda.
In what manner do you post it? Is it similar to a zoning case, the 4x4 sign? Is it large enough that people can do it, or is it tacked on a mailbox or something? How do they
do it? It's wherever we can find. It's not as large as the zoning.
Because I think we even had a discussion at one point on what size sign should we use. I think Gilbert used yellow or orange or something, and we went to the white one, but it had to be at least 4x4.
Is that for the zoning?
I think that was for zoning. I just, if it's a vacant lot and it's going to be a future liquor license application, or I just want to make sure that there's some visual means that somebody can see it for 20 days and at least have the opportunity to protest.
We can look into those changes. It's the standard sign that the state provides for us, notice.
I guess I've never seen one. So.
This is Randy Nations.
I've seen them on the door that they're doing a liquor license, but I've never seen one posted.
We'll stick a post in the ground and post the notice.
Okay. What size is the notice?
Mayor Hawker, Randy Nations, and we contacted a company to come out and put up a posting board, a 4x4 posting board, so the full application was posted on the 4x4 board.
On the lot that would be the future site?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what I'm getting at is I think you're asking for some direction on reestablishing a policy. I don't mind doing that as long as it's not the little signs that you can't read if you're, you know, unless you got out of your car and parked it on a thoroughfare and walked in up to the lot to read it. So I want to make sure that we establish some standard to do that. But the concept, and I had a little note here, that Phoenix accepts an affidavit saying that the business will secure the necessary permits and certificates of occupancy before using the liquor license.
Yes, sir.
And I question what that affidavit is and what's the penalties if they void that affidavit. Do they lose their license? Or is that grounds for having the license revoked? Randy, you want
to? I'm sorry, I thought you had a copy of the affidavit in your packet. We've worked with the city of Phoenix because of the big businesses that come in. They don't want to invest millions of dollars into a build-out project without first ascertaining whether they're going to be able to get a liquor license or not. So we worked with the city of Phoenix. They drew up this particular affidavit for us, which basically gives the city the opportunity to protest the issuance or a certificate of occupancy before at the city level so that we won't be able to open.
Right, but it cites certain Phoenix city code, and there's some numbers here that are meaningless without having a code book unless they're transferable to city to city. 113.6.6, I don't quite understand what that means, so I just want to make sure there's something that would also be in our code book that we could do that would give us some enforcement power if for some reason they didn't get a certificate of occupancy or didn't get the a building permit, but yet they wanted to jump the gun and start serving alcohol.
Well, I think that Terry Williams is here, but I understand that within our building code we have the authority to not let them open up if they have not
That you do, but Phoenix actually lets them open.
Phoenix doesn't, I'm sorry, sir. Phoenix doesn't allow us to open until we've gotten our C of O, which requires us to have all of the necessary permits.
Failure to obtain the required certificate of occupancy. So what they do is they hold the certificate of occupancy.
Okay, so that's the trigger, right?
Yeah.
Then they can use the liquor license. I thought they could occupy the building, but until they had something else, but there were a couple of triggers. So you get a C of O, but you don't have, well, I guess you'd have to have the inspections done to get the C of O.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct, sir.
All right. All right, Darrell.
I just want to clarify, you said you posted a 4x4 sign there, but how big?
How big was the sign?
The sign itself is bright. It's bright green. So if you're walking by or in the area, you're going to see it, but you would have to get out of your car depending on where it's located on the lot.
How big is the bright green sign?
Probably about 36 by 24.
Thank you.
Okay, Vice Mayor.
Do we need to make some changes in our code in order to allow this process to occur? And in order to make sure that, I mean, you know, this is fine. We see Mr. Nations all the time, but he isn't the only person who does this. To have some consistency of requirement in terms of the size of the sign, size of the lettering, all those things.
Vice Mayor Walters, I guess I would ask Jenny, but off the top of my head, no, you would not, because this is a policy, and it's under the state administrative code that says one of the bases for the council to recommend denial of a license is failure to comply with all city regulations. So I believe this is just the staff's process and procedure in applying this. And what they're doing now is they're changing their procedure and they're letting the council know that from now on they will recommend approval if it's new construction, even though they don't have the permits.
And I'm okay with that, but what I'd like is for the council to give direction to staff in terms of, you know, size of sign and those kinds of things, even if we don't have to have it in code. But so that there is a policy in place that is being applied across the board for anybody who comes forward.
Then, Vice Mayor, in that case, we should post this for that type of discussion. You can still move forward on this item, taking a look at what's been presented to you and the posting that's been done in this particular case. If council's satisfied with that, you can go ahead and approve it. If you're not satisfied, you can express that as well.
Is there any connection between this, and I guess I should probably ask Scott this because he had it in his district, and the dance hall application with, they had liquor and that was controversial and they wanted to reuse an existing building. What if they took a vacant lot and put a liquor license application sign out there and got permission for it way in advance, but there wasn't the public input and scrutiny.
Well, I believe with a teenage dance hall or a dance hall, there are some zoning restrictions, and they would have to go through the zoning process for that. Is that correct, John?
Mayor, that's correct, and certainly in this case, we've already been through the entitlement process. They've got the zoning and the site plan approved before this point, so you know what's going to go on the property. They just haven't gotten a building permit yet.
Okay. Bill?
We keep talking about the size of the sign, but my what I'm hearing is that the state provides the sign. Is that correct or not?
I'm sorry, but the city itself goes out and posts the location, but their sign is standard throughout the state of Arizona.
That's
posting
what I'm
boards.
Okay. It's a standard 2x3 sign, bright green or whatever. Yeah. So if you're driving by and you know what a liquor license sign looks like, you're going to recognize there's a liquor license.
So it's a standard. Okay.
There is always an opportunity for the neighborhood, even after that 20 days, to get with the state of Arizona and the state liquor board to file a protest.
Well, the ones that I've seen that are on a business that's applied for a liquor license, let's say a restaurant's open, they don't have a liquor license yet, it's just a little white piece of paper on the door. I mean, it isn't... I don't recall seeing any big, bright green signs in those cases.
Well, it's there. Possibly you just didn't see it. What you're seeing is actually a copy of the application itself.
Yes.
That's posted along with the bright green board to make notification.
You're right. I haven't seen the bright
green
board.
And it says notice liquor application in big, bold letters.
Okay.
They're both posted.
I haven't seen one, but I'm not a native of Arizona. Scott.
I'm reading your letter. One of the reasons that you're saying that you would like to change the policy is that your clients would be finding it more difficult to obtain license. More neighborhoods and neighborhood associations are starting to file public protests. The unions are sending out flyers to communities encouraging them to protest for non-union stores. That happened on one store that I'm aware of, the Fresh and Easy stores. I've been here about 18 months. I haven't seen any difficulty in it. Seeing licenses, are we seeing this as becoming a problem all of a sudden? Because I'm not aware of it.
We have not in Mesa.
So other than the protest on the one Fresh and Easy store chain coming into Arizona, have we seen this to be a problem in other stores coming? I've had long meetings on council, and none of them tying up because of a liquor license request.
Councilman Summers, we work with liquor license applications statewide, and it's common to have neighborhood protests and different associations. And in the case of Fresh and Easy, it's the unions that are trying to oppose them. And this can drag out for a long time. Before these people put millions of dollars into building out a project, they want to make sure that they're going to be able to get their liquor license first. And it's common throughout the state.
And my concern is in this particular case that, and others in the past that we have treated so far, that we want everybody to be on the same level. And part of that is that you have to have your building codes, your fire codes all have to be met. You have to get your certificate of occupancy. And it seems that one of the tools that we have used to ensure that you have those and that there is the public safety issues have been addressed is say no liquor license until all of the permits are out and the fire department and building safety department are happy. Another concern I have right now is while this may be a good idea, I haven't seen what our affidavit would even look like. I think we have a copy of one from Phoenix, but I haven't seen a draft for ours. I haven't had a report from our city attorney to know if there's something legally binding with this other than not offering a certificate of occupancy. I mean, what weight does this hold at all?
Well, we would certainly challenge their ability to open their business if they fail to obtain the proper permits and a C of O.
Okay. I think sounds to me like this one's going to go in upstairs, too, for further discussion. I don't think we're going to resolve it quite here, but Tom, you want to?
Yeah, and let me just see if I understand the process. Basically, you don't want to invest millions of dollars to build out a building before you know whether you can get the liquor license. But by the same token, if you sign an affidavit and we say we're going to go ahead and give you a liquor license, but we're not going to let you open unless you get a certificate of occupancy, you're not going to build a $1 million building without the expectation of getting a certificate of occupancy either, are you?
That's correct.
Right. So it seems to me that if they have the license, it doesn't really matter if they can't open their door.
That's correct. And 214,000 square feet and the amount of money they're wanting to put into this project, right, they want to make sure that they have a liquor license.
And we hold the ability to say you can't open.
That's correct. Without a certificate
right
of occupancy.
So what's the, I mean, to me, all it is it's an administrative thing saying normally we require to have your C of O and your fire safety first. Now we're saying we're going to let you get the license first, but we're not going to let you open unless you comply.
That's correct.
So I don't see a long-term
Could we not
problem.
Have done that with the cases that have come previously to this council where we were on a track to deny those cases?
In my experience, all the ones that we've been on a track to deny it are ones where we've had problems with a transfer or a license at another establishment, you know, where they're...
Or a new establishment in an existing in facility. An existing but facility. How is that
it's not
different?
Any different. Except the rationale isn't there. I mean, you don't have to do it because they're it's not the kind of layout of money that these people are talking about.
Has that been a problem with our development in the past?
We have had some cases where there's been problems where the proper permits have not been taken out, or the certificate of occupancy has not been correct. There's been issues with it. But those have all been restaurants that have been sold, and maybe they put in patios and didn't get the proper permits, those type of building issues.
I remember hearing something about this issue before I left, and unfortunately, I don't know if the rest of the council has heard this in more detail, but I feel like I'm having this dropped on my lap 5 minutes before I'm supposed to vote on that, and that makes me very uncomfortable. Tom, you may very well be right, and I probably could jump up and down saying this is a great idea. It's just I haven't had no time to look at this and what the possible consequences are. That makes me very wary of pushing a green button at this point.
If I can, Mayor, I guess would say that this is the first time the staff is recommending this, and perhaps, unfortunately, Mr. Nation's client here is sort of the guinea pig. And I don't necessarily think we need to get involved in sign and how big the sign is, et cetera.
No,
but I feel comfortable based upon who this entity is and who Mr. Nations is proceeding tonight on this one. But I think it is appropriate to have a council discussion as to whether or not we want to use this procedure in the future.
Second. Nice shirt, Tom.
Hey, Mike.
What the heck was that?
Councilman it's the voice Whalen from above.
Vice Mayor, did you have any comments?
You know, I'll reserve my comments for when this comes back, because I think that's the thing to do. Let's proceed with this one, and then let's come back for the discussion about using this. I think it looks like a good methodology to me, but I do have a couple of questions.
Okay. I think we'll leave it off consent at this point.
Right.
There's a little bit more discussion upstairs, probably.
Thank you.
All right. That's page 4. Page 5. Page 6, contracts. Page 7.
Six H
I have a potential conflict on. 6G, the background information was interesting. I didn't know you had to re-drill within 660 foot to retain water rights. So. Always learn something new in this job. Page 8, ordinances. Tom.
Mayor, just item 7C and 7D just came out of the General and Economic Development Committee meeting tonight with a recommendation of a due pass recommendation of 2-1. Mm-hmm. There's one item on here that's included in these changes that I voted against. This is the introduction. So I will not vote against them tonight so they can stay on the consent, but just so that everybody can be thinking about the issue so that in 2 weeks we're trying to increase the requirement for the fire systems in shell buildouts, and the idea being that if somebody wants to put in the developer builds it to a minimum standard, and then if somebody wants to come in and put in a one tenant wants to put in a business that requires a higher level, then that tenant has to then redo the entire building. And to me, I have no to me, that's a question that should be resolved between the tenant and the landlord. It's not really a public safety issue. It's more an economic issue. In deference to that, the fire department and the staff have come back and provided for an opt-out provision that allows the landlord, when he builds it, to say, I want a restrictive covenant that applies to my building that basically says I'm not going to ever use the building in a way that requires the bigger facility unless I put it in, type of thing. I just think it's a little bit too much of an interference with the market, so I will vote against it in 2 weeks. Everybody can try to look at the minutes from which are in our packet for tonight. Our minutes from November 5th are in there. You'll see a further discussion from tonight's minutes, but that's the only issue that caused any kind of disagreement with the committee. So when you get it and you see it, it's a 2-1, but that's the only element of this that caused my no vote. The rest of it I'm comfortable with.
Okay. Yes, Scott.
I'd just like to mention about that. I have to look at that a little bit more closely to make sure that I'm understanding you the right way. And maybe we can discuss it. But there are incidents where a building is designed for its current fire load and occupancy, and somewhere along the way, a new fire load comes in, a new occupancy that's higher, and the sprinkler system was not designed for that. Hydrocarbon fuels, for example.
Right.
If we put hydrocarbons fuels in here, this system would be overrun in a matter of minutes, if not less. So putting in the shell requirements, which I'll take a closer look at, likely trying to deal with as many hazards as possible, and the upgrade may be necessary based on who that new tenant is. And at the point that it becomes an occupied building, we start to change from an economic issue to a public safety issue. And so while I still need to read it again, I would be in support of that. Let me take a closer look and get
And again, tonight's probably not the night to discuss it any length, but in fairness, I think what they're saying is that if that new occupancy comes in that has that higher level, they're probably going to have to redo the fire system for the entire building. Not just their unit, but for the entire building. And that's an economic decision to that tenant as to whether or not he wants to go in there. If he wants to, in my mind, if he wants to go in there and is willing to bear that price, that's his business. We shouldn't be telling them that the landlord has to do it, because it may be a fire suppression system that is wasted on 90% of the building over the 20-year life. So that's the issue.
I'll get with you.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I think, yeah. Okay.
Okay. In conjunction with the fire code, are they looking at electrical? Because electrical is the same deal. Somebody puts in a 223 phase instead of a, you know, and then they're using 110, and then they want to modify and put in bigger equipment, and you got to pull in electrical wires for everything.
It's not on these items. All right. It's just the fire code.
I philosophically agree with Tom on this one. It's more up to the landlord and the tenants. If it's not the building that they can occupy without spending more money and upgrading the whole building, then they find another location. So I hate to not allow a building to be built for a use that works, and it's more reasonable in price to get it off the ground. And then you go to that type of tenant. If you want a higher use tenant, then you build a different building for them.
It has to do with fire flow and getting the water where it needs to go. So, and I don't know, I guess if you want me to pick a better time than now to explain it, but
okay.
Because I think we're pressed for time, but I can show you how that all works out. You might be more comfortable.
Okay. All right, that's page 8. Page 9. These are resolutions. Right. Tom, you got one?
Mayor, I skipped because I was thinking about the item on page 8, and I missed one on page 7. I apologize.
Okay.
On item 6I, I don't want it pulled off the consent agenda. It's the stop-loss reinsurance for our employee benefit trust. And I was this just triggered a thought in my mind that I was wondering whether or not our benefit advisory committee and has sat down and looked at the price of insurance in the market for the entire package versus just the stop loss to make the comparison with, are we better off doing it as a self-insured basis or are we doing it in the market? And I know we have two members from the council who are on that committee, and I was just curious if we've ever done that. I don't remember having a report on it, and maybe that's not appropriate, but Claudia, have we done that?
We have done it. We haven't done it this year, but we have done it, yes.
In the 3.5 years that I've been here?
I believe we have in the period of time that you have been here.
Okay.
We continually look at, you know, how affordable things are, and the last time we looked at it, we were in good shape compared to
and
other things.
I'm just urging that we continually
yes.
do that, because here we're buying insurance yes. for almost $1.4 million that, at least over the last 5 years, we've maybe touched $300,000 or $400,000 of it. That you never want to have to, you're never going to get those two to match, but there's $1 million here that could be spent another way if we were buying the whole premium. And I just want to make
right.
sure that analysis is in there.
We're constantly
okay.
assessing that, and we have really done a lot in the last several years to, and I would say in the last 6 years particularly, to
okay.
really address, you know, looking at every element of it. But it's a great question that should be asked all the time.
The light bulb went off.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm. yep.
thought I'd ask.
Okay. Page 10. I had a question on 8H, I, and J, and my question had to do with what's the long-term obligation of maintaining this firearms range if we accept these grants? If we ever decide to move that range to some other location, and maybe that's not I hate to do grants and then be tied in that we have to have a 20-year or a 50-year obligation to provide shooting for the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board because they contributed money to our range and we can't move it. Or if we move it, it has to be at least that standard or exceed it, and you can't do an indoor range someplace or do some of the other options. That's my question.
Okay, sir. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm Lieutenant Mark Wesselman. I was assigned to training. And our commitment on this is allowing other Arizona law enforcement agencies to use our facility for 10 years.
So it's a 10-year commitment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't see that in the backup. Okay, I actually don't have too much heartburn with the 10-year because I think that area has worked out fairly well. We've done remediation and other things on the bank, I think, taking a lead out of it and some other things.
Yes, sir. It's in good shape right now
right.
as far as remediation on the berms.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anything else on page 10? Vice Mayor.
I just want to clarify. I know that I had a conflict on the issue of the election on HL, but I don't have any conflict on voting on the canvassing of the election.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's page 10 then, page 11. And these are introduction of. Now this is voting on zoning cases, in most cases at least. That's 9B through E, page 10, or page 12, I'm sorry.
Hey, Mayor.
Subdivision plots, anything we went over that we should, any questions? All right. Let's go to item number 2 then, acknowledging receipts of various boards and committees.
So
the motion second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Your reports from meetings and or conferences attended. We've got a few minutes. Any reports? Kyle.
Sure. Last week I was back in New Orleans for the National League of Cities, and while I was there, I went and accepted our award for our IT folks for the Digital City Survey. We've been getting that award regularly now, and congratulations to our IT folks for the great work they do on digital cities.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I was also there. I'm the Vice Chair of the Community and Economic Development Steering Committee for the National League of Cities, and we had some good discussions with our committee, but what I would tell you is that both Councilmember Jones and I continue to push on the issue of federal policy on illegal immigration, and we are seen as, it's so fascinating because depending on where you are, people see you in different ways, and they see us as, I think, thorns on this or something, because we keep pushing it. We won't let go of it, and we have worked very hard on continuing to move that forward and have frankly had some serious success. As a matter of fact, some of the work that we did in our committee last year resulted in Kyle's being able to carry the ball on his committee, and things are moving forward. Not to everyone's happiness, by the way. Not to everyone's happiness.
Okay. Kyle.
I'd add also that Vice Mayor and I were able to take a tour out of what was the Ninth Ward in New Orleans and see the devastation there. It gets your attention real quick of what they went through when those levees broke. Mm-hmm. And, so it was very sobering to see those neighborhoods that are not going to recover for a long time.
This morning I was able to sit in the audience and watch Councilmember Summers conduct the Williams Gateway meeting, and there was an announcement that I'd like to convey that the ASU Polytechnic is going to be a training site for air traffic controllers. They got the certification, so that's a great tie-in between the airport and the university out there, and I was very pleased to have Dr. McHenry make that announcement this morning. So. Councilmember Whalen, I think you're at a meeting now, aren't you?
I'm in Yuma, sir.
Okay.
Down here on a line siding case, another 500,000 volt line from Palo Verde to Yuma.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us through the phone network here this evening.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Then scheduling and meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. For this Thursday, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, so we won't be meeting at 7:30 in the morning. get those turkeys in.
I know.
Don't get used to it. We will reconvene again on November 29th for our Thursday study session, and our next council meeting will be December 3rd, which will be preceded by an audit and finance committee meeting at 3:30. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. That's all I have, so let's go ahead and adjourn the study session, and we'll reconvene the council meeting upstairs in about 15 minutes.